Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in the wonderful name which is above every name. On yesterday's broadcast, we began a message entitled Unholiness, and to understand what the Lord was saying as He gave command to His people Israel, we're going into the book of Leviticus, which on surface reading can seem a little dry and a little challenging because it doesn't seem to apply much to our lives today. However, we're going to, in just a brief and general way, see what God was trying to illustrate through the sacrificial offerings and see it applied to our own lives. But before we do that, and before we go into that 11th chapter of Leviticus, I'd like to just refer you briefly to that dispensation in time just after the flood. If you remember Noah, 8 people were saved alive, and when the waters receded, the ark rested on Mount Ararat. Noah and his family came out. They released the animals. He made an altar to the Lord. He built an altar, and he took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and he offered a burnt offering on that altar. And then the Lord made some statements. He said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. And then He gave a command to Noah and his family, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 2 of chapter 9 of Genesis, He says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. This was a different dispensation. Before that, man perhaps had, like in the Garden of Eden, there was no killing of animals. But he says in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. So he's saying every animal, everything that's alive, they will be meat to you. But he makes a distinction, the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. All right. And then God, down through the passage of time, sees a man by the name of Abram, and he who is the father of the faithful, the father of the Jewish people, if you will, and to create a distinction, he brings him out of Ur, he promises them the land of the Middle East, and he also tells him his people will be, his descendants will be in Egypt for about 400 years, but God would send a deliverer. That was Moses. And then when that occurs, they come out of Egypt. Moses goes up before the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments are given, and the law, the building of the requirements that were needed for the wilderness tabernacle. And so there is a distinction. Then God becomes very specific, because why? He is setting apart a people for Himself. He wanted them to be separate from the peoples of this earth. And for that reason, He gave them rules and regulations, very specific, very detailed. And we understand from the New Testament that because they were so detailed, because man was not saved at that point, Jesus had not died for our sins, but there were righteous people who did desire to seek after the Lord, the following these regulations, the law would enable them to walk in fellowship with God. That on the Day of Atonement, blood sacrifice was made and people would be restored. They wouldn't have fellowship as we do, but their sin was covered for a year. So in that 11th chapter of Leviticus, he talks about the law of the beast, the fowl, and every living creature. And in verse 47, he says, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. What is another way of talking about this? He was talking about holiness, or a separation from the unclean. That's the entire burden of this chapter. Now, just a couple chapters before that, in chapter 9, Aaron offers the sin and the burnt offering for himself and the people. Moses and Aaron then bless the people, and fire comes out from before the Lord, consumes upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and they fall on their faces. Now, what was occurring? A full atonement has been made. They were making an atonement for their sins. The Lord revealed himself to his people, as we see in chapter 9. And then it becomes the people of God to concern themselves with the issue of holiness, which is being discussed in chapter 11. And even though before that time, man, according to what God told Noah, every living thing is meat for you, now he starts making distinctions. Why? Because the desire of God's heart is found in the preceding verse, verse 45, which declares, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." So in this chapter, a warning is given to God's people. Distinctions are being clearly made, as well as the reasons given why God's redeemed people should live separated lives. And you know what, beloved? Even though today we've been delivered from the law, and anyone who tries to go back to those kinds of restrictions, I'm going to observe the Sabbath day because that's on Saturday. If you are going to do that, then you're under obligation to fulfill the whole of the law. And when we desire to go back to the law, that's what Paul was saying in the book of Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who would steal the liberty that you have in Christ? Because in Christ, God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And that's why Paul was so persecuted by the Judaizers, because he understood the glorious liberty as the apostle to the Gentiles. No, they didn't have to be circumcised to be saved, because that's what the Judaizers were doing. Well, yes, it's wonderful to be saved. However, now you have to do these other things that were given to the Jewish people under the law in order to be saved. And that great council at Jerusalem, the 15th chapter of Acts, it was determined what the Gentile believers should do. And of course, that goes back, don't partake of the blood, which goes back to the Noahic covenant, if you will. And so, beloved, we have an obligation as God's people. We are under the perfect law of liberty. We don't have a bunch of statutes, do's and don'ts. We are to love God with all of our heart. You see, in the New Testament, Jesus dealt with the attitude of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, if you look at a woman and lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Under the Old Testament, it was just the literal acts, but the law of liberty gives us the ability, the freedom to live as God wants us to live. But if we go back into sin, if we willfully turn our backs on the Lord, then we're going back into bondage, the bondage of sin. The wonderful act of redemption, being born again, delivers us from the power of sin in our lives. And then that work, just as, remember, how did I begin this broadcast? They were thanking the Lord, atonement was made, fire comes down, consumes the offering, and they worship the Lord. Then they have a responsibility to walk in holiness. That's why the scriptures say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, we can't do a thing to effect our salvation. It's a sovereign work of God. Then, however, we have a responsibility to learn what God wants. Why? How? By reading the Word of God, and by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit, who is resident in our spirit once we are saved, to then let that process begin. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He's our personal trainer, if you will. He, if I can put it in modern terms, he works in a customized way with each and every child of God. Why? Because you know what, beloved? The devil knows your weakest points. And you know what? He's not going to attack your strengths. He is going to attack you in areas that you are most vulnerable, that you are weakest, areas that before you walk with the Lord, the enemy had used to wound you and to hurt you and to bring sorrow and grief and to cause you all kinds of things that we experience, because I believe the enemy knows those who are the Lord's. He will do everything he can. And beloved, that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit. Our day-to-day experience, our day-to-day activities, are the thoughts of our hearts, we and the words of our mouth, may they be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord. That's the work of holiness that the Holy Spirit is working and accomplishing in us. And lest you feel overwhelmed, he who started that good work will finish it as long as you say, yes, Lord, I can't do this. I confess my weakness. What did Paul say? He gloried in his infirmities, in his weaknesses, because when he was weak, then the power of God and the grace of God was strong and active in his life. Praise God. Well, I could go on for an hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray you'll be able to be with us at the same time if you're listening live through the radio station KFAX. Then if not, if you need to go to our website, I invite you to listen there anytime at your convenience. Just click on the broadcast. But as I always do, if you're struggling, if you are being attacked, if you are in spiritual warfare, beloved, there's power in agreeing prayer. I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. If you email, I will confirm and I will pray for you. But if you want a personal letter of encouragement back, where I will be able to have to speak more directly to your prayer need, then I ask that you include your mailing address so I can respond. I love you. I pray for you every day. UCM Partners, what a blessing you are. I pray for you every day, as well as my radio family. Some of you have been listening for quite a long time. You've never written. That's all right. I'm still remembering you in prayer. God bless you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.